We support the idea of an independent revolution in the Western Hemisphere, free from American intervention.
That is the voice of Lee Harvey Oswald, recorded on August 17, 1963, before Oswald shot President Kennedy 3 months later on November the 22nd. Only a few men had heard this recording. One was Oswald. Another was the interviewer, reporter Bill Stuckey. The third was Ed Butler, an officer of INCA, the Information Council of the Americas, a private, nonprofit educational organization. Butler is a specialist in combating communist agitprop techniques and debated Oswald a few days after the interview. Mr. Butler.
Millions of Americans still wonder why Oswald did what he did, or indeed if he did it at all. I don't wonder. The Warren Commission is accurate when it describes Oswald's commitment to Marxism and communism as a key motive. For example, I have in hand certified copies of six letters handwritten by Lee Harvey Oswald to leaders of the Communist Party USA spanning the summer and fall of 1963. In these letters, Oswald reports on his progress in setting up a Fair Play for Cuba Committee front organization in New Orleans. He requests communist literature for his stockpile. He extends honorary membership in his New Orleans committee to those so-called fighters for peace, Gus Hall, Benjamin Davis, and Arnold Johnson, as a token of esteem. There are two replies from the communists who reveal these letters to forestall further investigation. At the same time Oswald was writing these adoring letters in private, he was boldly denying his allegiance to communism in public with statements like those on this record. Copies of these amazing letters, along with an analysis and other revealing documents from the volumes of the Presidential Assassination Commission, are available in a documentary paperback called Oswald Speaks from INCA, Post Office Box 53371, New Orleans, Louisiana. As you listen to this recording, ask yourself, does Oswald sound insane as he weaves his way through Latin affairs expert Stuckey's difficult questions? Does Oswald sound like a foe or friend of Kennedy's worst enemy, Castro? Does Oswald sound confused or simply cold-blooded as he casually condemns the Cuban refugees with two words, good riddance? Does Oswald seem honest when he omits to mention his three-year defection to Russia? Does Oswald appear clever when he evades answering questions about his communist beliefs by claiming to represent only the Fair Play for Cuba Committee? The Oswald I knew was far different from the semi-psychotic picture being painted of him by numerous experts who never knew him. I have heard of only one propagandist as proficient and brazen as Oswald, Fidel Castro. Unfortunately, a legion of the lunatic left and radical right has gone marching off, arm in arm, in the wrong direction, misleading millions of Americans who keep obediently chanting the same stock question. Was Oswald ordered to act, or did he act alone? What we should be asking is, why did Oswald do what he did? Was he incited to act? Are there more assassins in America like him?
Now, Senator Thomas J. Dodd, Vice Chairman of the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee, in charge of investigating subversion for the Senate, former prosecutor of Nazi war criminals at Nuremberg, and former special agent of the FBI, Senator Dodd.
I asked Ed Butler to come to Washington to testify before the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee a few hours after President Kennedy's assassination, at a time when Oswald was still alive. Ed Butler brought this recording with him. What we heard convinced us that Oswald's commitment to communism and the pathological hatred of his own country fostered by this commitment had played an important part in making him into an assassin. This important and historical record completely demolishes the widespread notion that Oswald was a simple crackpot who acted without any understandable motivation.
Now listen as Lee Harvey Oswald speaks to reporter Bill Stuckey in the complete, uncut, unedited interview.
This is the first of a series of Latin listening post interviews with persons more or less directly concerned with the conflict between the United States and Cuba. In subsequent programs, we will present talks with people who are connected with the Cuban refugee organizations, people who are connected with President Batista, and U.S. citizens with direct stakes in the outcome of the Cuban situation. Tonight, we have with us a representative of probably the most controversial organization connected with Cuba in this country. The organization, the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. The person, Lee Oswald, secretary of the New Orleans chapter to the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. This organization has long been on the Justice Department's blacklist and is a group which is generally considered to be the leading pro-Castro body in the nation. As a reporter of Latin American affairs in this city for several years now, your columnist has kept a lookout for local representatives of this pro-Castro group. None appeared in public view until this week, when young Lee Oswald was arrested and convicted for disturbing the peace. He was arrested while passing out pro-Castro literature to a crowd which included several violently anti-Castro Cuban refugees. When we finally tracked Mr. Oswald down today and asked him to participate in Latin listening posts, he told us frankly that he would because it may help his organization attract more members in this area. With that in mind, and knowing that Mr. Oswald must have had to demonstrate a great skill in dialectics before he was entrusted with his present post, we now proceed on a course of random questioning of Mr. Oswald. Mr. Oswald, if I may, how long has the Fair Play for Cuba Committee had an organization in New Orleans?
We have had members in this area for several months now. Up until about 2 months ago, however, we have not organized our members into any sort of an active group. Until, as you say, this week, we have decided to feel out the public what they think of our organization, our aims. And for that purpose, we have been, as you say, distributing literature on the street for the purpose of trying to attract new members and feel out the public.
Do you have any other activities other than distributing literature at the present time?
Well, I assume you mean, do I have any organizational duties myself?
Yes.
Yes, as secretary, I am responsible for the keeping of records and the protection of the members' names so that unduplicity or attention will not be drawn to them if they do not desire it. My duties are as the duties of a secretary of any organization. Now, our organization has a president, a secretary, and a treasurer. The duties of those people would be more or less self-evident. Those then are my duties. I do not, however, belong to any other organization at all.
Are you at liberty to reveal the membership of your organization?
No, I'm not.
For what reason?
Well, as secretary, I believe it's standard operating procedure that an organization consisting of a political minority protect the names and addresses of its members, and I have that is my duty, and I have every reason to do that.
Mr. Oswald, there are many commentators in the journalistic field in this country that equate the Fair Play for Cuba Committee with the American Communist Party. What's your feeling about this, and are you a member of the American Communist Party?
Well, the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, with its headquarters at 799 Broadway in New York, has been investigated by the Senate subcommittees who are occupied with this sort of thing. They have investigated our organization from the viewpoint of taxes, subversion, allegiance, and in general where and how and why we exist. They have found absolutely nothing to connect us with the Communist Party of the United States. In regards to your question about whether I myself am a communist, as I said, I do not belong to any other organization.
I noticed from your pamphlets that one bears the title of Hands Off Cuba. I'm curious as to whether or not this applies to the Soviet Union as well as to the United States.
This organization is not occupied at all with the problem of the Soviet Union or the problem of international communism. Hands Off Cuba is the main slogan of this committee. It means, it follows our first principle, which has to do with non-intervention. In other words, keeping your hands off a foreign state, which is supported by the Constitution and so forth and so on. We have our own non-intervention laws. That is what Hands Off Cuba means. As I say, we are not occupied at all with the problem of the Soviet Union.
Does your group believe that the Castro regime in Cuba is not actually a front for a Soviet colony in the Western Hemisphere?
Very definitely. Castro is an independent leader of an independent country. He has ties with the Soviet Union, with the Eastern Bloc. However, I think it's rather obvious as to why and when and where, because of the fact that we certainly don't have any trade with them. We are discouraging trade with that country, with our allies and so forth. So, of course, he has to turn to Russia. That does not mean, however, that he is dependent upon Russia. He receives trade from many countries, including Great Britain to a certain extent, France, certain other powers in the Western Hemisphere. He is even trading with several of the more independent African states. So that you cannot point at Castro and say that he is a Russian puppet. He is not. He is an independent person, an independent leader of his country. And I believe that was pointed out very well during the October crisis, when Castro very definitely said that although Premier Khrushchev had urged him to have on-site inspection at his rocket bases in Cuba, that Fidel Castro refused.
Do you feel that the Fair Play for Cuba Committee would maintain its present line as far as supporting President or Premier Castro if the Soviet Union broke relations with the Castro regime in Cuba?
We do not support the man. We do not support the individual. We support the idea of an independent revolution in the Western Hemisphere, free from American intervention. We do not support, as I say, the individual. If the Cuban people destroy Castro, or if he is otherwise proven to have betrayed his own revolution, that will not have any bearing upon this committee. We are a committee who do believe that Castro has not so far betrayed his own country.
Do you believe that the Castro regime is a communist regime?
They have not. Well, they have said that they are a Marxist country. On the other hand, so is Ghana. So is several other countries in Africa. Every country which emerges from a sort of a feudal state, as Cuba did, experiments usually in socialism, in Marxism. For that matter, Great Britain has socialized medicine. You cannot say that Castro is a communist at this time because he has not developed his country, his system, so far. He has not had the chance to become a communist. He is an experimenter, a person who is trying to find the best way for his country. If he chooses a socialist or a Marxist or a communist way of life, that is something upon which only the Cuban people can pass. We do not have the right to pass on that. We can have our own opinions, naturally, but we cannot exploit that system and say it is a bad one, it is a threat to our existence, and then go in and try to destroy it. That would be against our principles of democracy.
As a representative of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, do you feel that capitalism in any form, or at least capitalism as we know it, has any place in the future of Cuba?
Well, so far, the situation has developed where that it is irrevocably lost as far as Cuba is irrevocably lost as far as capitalism goes. There will never be a capitalist regime again in Cuba. Cuba may go the way of Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, or it may go the way to the other extreme, the way of China. In other words, a dogmatic communist system. That depends on how we handle the matter here in the United States.
Does the Fair Play for Cuba Committee have any particular position in the Cuban, or rather the Chinese and Russian conflict? Has it taken sides as opposed to China's position in this conflict or as opposed to Russia's position?
Well, no, we do not pass on international situations of that sort. As the name implies, Fair Play for Cuba Committee, we are occupied only with the one narrow point of Cuba, the problem of Cuba and what it is to us. We are not occupied or at all with the problems of the Sino-Russian or the Yugoslavian-Russian problems whatsoever.
I have here with me tonight various pieces of literature that Mr. Oswald has been distributing on street corners here in the last week. I'd like to read to you some of the titles. The first is a yellow handbill entitled Hands Off Cuba. Join the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, New Orleans Charter Member Branch. There's another pamphlet by the name of, quote, The Revolution Must Be a School of Unfettered Thought, - Fidel Castro. There's still another pamphlet entitled Fidel Castro Denounces Bureaucracy and Sectarianism, and a fourth pamphlet entitled Ideology and Revolution by Jean-Paul Sartre. I'm curious about a fifth pamphlet, however, Mr. Oswald. This to me was the most interesting. It's entitled The Crime Against Cuba by Carlos Lamont. The theme of this pamphlet is the fact that the U.S. committed a grave injustice when it backed the Bay of Pigs invasion in 1961. Now, it has probably a complete ideology here for the national liberation movement type of philosophy that we hear a lot of in the new countries. Picking among the paragraphs, I see one here that I'd like to hear Mr. Oswald's comment on, and I'd like to quote. It is well to recall that the national emergency proclaimed by President Truman in 1950 during the Korean War is still in effect in the United States and has been utilized constantly for the curtailment of civil liberties. What's your comment about the veracity of this statement?
Well, of course, that is the last paragraph of a very long page. That has to do with the fact that propaganda in the United States has slanted and shown Cuba and Castro to be in a very bad light. Now, they have mentioned, the U.S. government has mentioned, that Castro has declared an emergency in Cuba. He has not held elections, for instance, because of the fact that there is an emergency situation in Cuba. Now, the Castro government, in declaring that, is doing just what this book points out. It is doing what we did in 1950. And you recall what happened in 1950. That was during the beginning of the Korean War, when we felt that we were going to be in a very, very dangerous situation. We adopted an emergency law which restricted newspapers, broadcasters, radio and TV from giving any opinions, any comments, which were not already checked out by certain administrative bureaus of the United States government. That was under our emergency. At this time, Fidel Castro has his emergency. It is because of us and our attitude, and because of the attitude of certain other people, certain other countries in Latin America and certain other countries. This then is the parallel which this paragraph is talking about. An emergency in our country at that time and an emergency in their country at this time.
Mr. Oswald, this is very interesting to me to find out about the restrictions on newspapers in 1950, because I was in the newspaper business at that time. Mm-hmm. I don't recall seeing any such government bureau established in my office to tell us what to print. Exactly what do you have reference to?
Well, I have reference to the obvious fact that during wartime, haphazard guesses and information are not given out by anyone in regards to military or strategical comments, such as comments or leaks about new fronts or movements and so forth. News was controlled at that time to that extent, as it is always controlled during a war or a national emergency, always.
Do you feel that news is controlled in the United States today regarding Cuba?
It is a self-control, yes, imposed by most newspapers. Of course, I don't know whether I'm being fair, but of course I would have to point to the Times-Picayune States Island Syndicate, since it is the only paper we have in New Orleans, and a very restrictive paper it is. The Fair Play for Cuba Committee has often approached this paper with information or comments, and this paper has consistently refused because of the fact that it is sympathetic to the anti-Castro regime. It is systematically refused to print anything objective, anything giving the other man's viewpoint about Cuba.
Would you care to list the dates of the persons that you talked to in the papers that refused to print this material?
I do not know the name of the reporter. I did speak to the city editor. I spoke to him 1 week ago, and I spoke to him yesterday, Friday, which was immediately after our demonstration, when I and several other of my members had a demonstration in front of the International Trade Mart, which was filmed by WDSU-TV and shown last night on the news. At that time, at 2 o'clock, I went to the Times-Picayune, informed them of our demonstration, which was very well covered by WDSU-TV, and they told me at that time that due to the fact that they were not sympathetic to this organization or to the aims and ideals of this organization, they would not print any information that I gave them. They did say that if I would care to write a letter to the editor, they might put that in the letter to the editor column.
Mr. Oswald, does it make any difference to you if any of the activities of the local branch of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee benefit the Communist Party or the goals of international communism?
Does it make any... Yes. Well, that is what I believe you would term a loaded question. However, I will attempt to answer it. It is inconsistent with my ideals to support communism, my personal ideals. It is inconsistent with the ideals of the Fair Play for Cuba Committee, to support the ideals of international communism. We are not occupied with that problem. We are occupied with the problem of Cuba. We do not believe, under any circumstances, that in supporting our ideals about Cuba, our pro-Castro, as you call them, ideals, we do not believe that that is inconsistent with believing in democracy. Quite the contrary. We believe that it is a necessity in supporting democracy to support Fidel Castro in his right to make his country any way he wants to. Not so much the right to destroy us. Of course, we have our rights about defense. In other words, we do not feel national communism or communism in supporting Fidel Castro.
We'll return for more questions after this message.